Blog Talk Radio.
Of color with white minds on their jury that have no understanding of the average reasoning person of the black community. Point number 10. You ready for that one?
Yeah.
Point number 10. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. How many for that? We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own. Here.
I do it.
Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power. All praises due to the Most High, Father God, Yahweh, Jah, and whatever other attributes that we call our Heavenly Father. We want to thank you all today for joining us on Black Power Radio. It is my honor and pleasure to begin out my first time hosting as your national spokeswoman, Nadia Saj Court. I want to first give thanks for everybody for joining us today on Black Power Radio. I want to also give thanks to my comrade and National Chief of Staff, Brother Sean Kwali, for manning the boards and being here with us once again to bring the news, bring the information, and bring the love of black power and empowerment to our people nationally and internationally. So tonight, we have a two-part show for you all today, as we normally do. Our second half, our Brother Sean Kwali will be bringing in our national advisor, and our spiritual guide, our attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and he'll be bringing you a dynamic report on his war on the legal front against these fascist pigs. But on our first half, you will be hearing from me as we go in depth into the Negro peon, and the disrespect of the black woman. And the reason why I chose to speak on this for the first half of our evening is because in light of it being another round of Black History Month, I felt as though we should jump it off by honoring our ancestors in action. And one of the best actions I know is making up for the mistakes and the misuses of information that we've done over the past. So let's first start out with the Negro Peon family. And I want to once again thank y'all for tightening your seatbelts, putting on your boots and lacing them up, and putting on your helmets, because tonight this will not be an easy road. I know most of y'all that know me and have spoken with me before know me to always deal with duality and try and be very objective in my analysis. But tonight you will not get the duality because I've already given you the side of the Negro peon's counter thesis, which is the black man and black woman. So we're not going to deal on that tonight. We'll deal with that after we deal with you Negro peons that must be pointed out. So what is a Negro peon, family? Well, let's first deal with that and define it. A Negro peon is an individual, African of descent, a person of color, per se, that still has the European attributes, characteristics. And we're not speaking on physical features, people, so let's go ahead and clarify that first. I'm specifically speaking on action here. A Negro peon is an African of descent, and a person of color who still carries out, perpetuates, and contributes to the institution of white supremacy. See, first, a Negro is a black person in America who, during that time period after chattel slavery was abolished and we moved on into a more disguised economic slavery, black people took on different character names for themselves in a small but yet petty, I would say, attempt to redefine themselves. But you were still using the vocabulary and the characteristics of your oppressor, so that's why I said it was petty and futile. But anyway, giving thanks for action, they took on different names and attributes for themselves outside of nigger. And one of these names was Negro, but it was also a name that was under Jim Crow. It was also a name that had laws written to keep it subjugated and held down in a certain place. So this Negro was also a name that was synonymous with acceptance of white supremacy, acceptance of the standard of beauty being white, acceptance of your black skin not being good enough, and acceptance of you breaking your back to fit in and be accepted by the oppressor. So we thus first have the Negro. And peon is exactly what you think you are hearing. It is peon. It is small, something that's so minute that it should not be of relevance, but because it exists, it has to be relevant. So we have put together a word that we have now classified and termed as Negro peon, and this is the epitome of what is happening with the movement, what is happening to the black community, and what's happening to the globe. If we try to figure out why can we not keep a steady momentum when we march, protest, build foundations, create institutions, and then something happens and we fall back down again, and then we pick ourselves up and we march, protest, build foundations, build institutions. Why can we never have any consistency? What is the problem? Who is the monkey wrench, per se? Well, let's see if we have any Negro peons within the African family, the new African community, the conscious community, the black liberation movement, whatever you would like to term it. Are the individuals that you are dealing with, organizing with, marching with, protesting with, praying with, sitting in, or occupying with, are they Africans or are they Negro peons? let's see, the characteristics of a Negro peon would be a person who would continue to perpetuate white supremacy and characterize themselves in action by countering what is productive towards black liberation. Now, what does this have to do with the disrespect of the black woman? Okay. The epitome of respect of a black woman would be to put her, place her, and covenant her and protect her in the position where she was always divinely ordained to be in, which is the woman, the breadbasket, the covenant, the creator of life, the womb, the holy origin of all, hence the name Mother Earth. She is the backbone, the foundation of family structure, the first teacher of the child. Therefore, she would be almost the most or closest thing to divinity you would have next to your body or person in flesh. So, an African would covenant the black woman. An African would do all in their power to raise themselves up to have the ability to protect, provide, and then the black woman. Thus, we see the defining line between what an African man would do and what the Negro peon man has done. See, what we have facing our current situation in the black community family, as we're listening right now on Black Power Radio, there are hundreds and thousands of black women sitting in their homes, feeding and clothing children by themselves, while the men have been taken out of the home, either violently or legally, behind bars, languishing, decaying, no longer providing or protecting their family. You then have brothers that have been forced out of their homes in a state of self-induced amnesia and are wandering the streets trying to find their way, but because they are still struggling to figure out how they can fit into the standard of white supremacy that they've been taught, they are no longer willing to do the things that they should be doing to be beneficial towards the African nation. So they are now over in the Negro peon category. We have leaders that rise up out of the pulpits of our communities, churches, under the guiding ideological structure of the Messiah that has been taught to us in the black community. You know what I'm talking about. The concept of the charismatic person, usually a male, that comes and speaks and galvanizes and electrifies the people. This usually happens in the church house. So we have this phenomenon of the Messiah, the groupthink, as we call it, happening all over the black community. And these males rise up, filling our women with the hope that they need of a strong black man, the intelligence and the ability to speak and give them the answers to the many questions that would naturally burn within their soul after they've been displaced from their culture. But then, because these false prophets, these parking lot pimping pulpit preachers are pimping from the pulpits, these sisters are also disillusioned, become even more mentally traumatized than they were before they even tried to find that futile sense of hope and security. Now they have once again been damaged by the European mind state. This, my brothers and sisters, is the reason why we're speaking on this concept tonight on Black Power Radio, because some things have just become too taboo in the conscious community, family. We seem to think that as long as we parade around in our flowery dress and speak phloetically, that we do not have to act out any of the theory that we claim to practice. But that is the very nature of a European. So, if a Negro peon is doing the same thing, which is saying something and doing another, then we are actively destroying the very foundation of what we claim we are all on this line listening and fighting for. in honor of the ancestors, in honor of this being Black History Month, I have to point out and target one of the most detrimental factors to the destruction of the Black family structure, and that is that Negro peon in our family structure who refuses to do whatever it takes to keep that family whole. That European that is in the music industry that keeps so charismatically, so rhythmatically, so swag-mat, like just beautifully and eloquently makes music to contribute to the destruction of how Black women feel about themselves. So now you have little Black girls saying verbatim what it is to pop, lock, and drop all of what it is that is their essence. But it's okay, because as long as you got some pretty brown-skinned Negro peon brother telling you all that you want to hear, you have no gripes, no concerns, or no afterthought to the effects of what you just allowed into your household. So let's please not get this misunderstood, family, as we listen tonight on Black Power Radio. We are getting amped up to accept the truth that in the smallest to the largest way, we all have a little Negro peon in us. And I say that because if you didn't, we would all be free. I say this again. Tonight on Black Power Radio, as we all sit and speak and listen together right now, we all have a little Negro peon in us. Because if we did it, we would all be free by now. So the little instance that you looked at your sister and had a thought that was a Negro peon way of thinking because you should have never had the audacity to analyze another African person with a white filter, with a white ruler, with a white measuring stick. That instinct that you cut on the radio and heard the song's lyrics, said them in your head and repeated them out your mouth, even though they grinded against everything you claim to be as a RBG, New African Black Liberation Revolutionary Organizer. But you banged the song anyway. It wasn't hurt anybody because nobody was around, but it hurt you. It hurt your spirit. But, hey, we all are still growing. This is the reason why Black Power Radio exists, to expose, speak on, and discuss things that we wouldn't normally discuss, things we would not normally think about because we're so focused on what we feel as though is the best concept of freedom or the best tactic to achieving freedom. But guess what, my beautiful Black family? Tonight on Black Power Radio, we have to always, always deal with truth and the relativity of it. And one thing that truth is it is not relative. Truth is whether you want it to be or not to be. And the truth is we are still living under a system of white supremacy where it is encompassing everything around us. So there is absolutely no mathematically scientific fact that you don't have Negro peon tendencies. So we now must be honest with ourselves on how we can deal with them. And as a Black woman, as the spokesperson of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, this Black woman chooses to focus on the greater, which is the Negro peon in power. I would say this would be the greater evil, because as we are dealing with our enemies, we are always relinquishing and destroying the white supremacy in ourselves. This is what I've learned from Comrade Friends Fanon and others. So let us now point out the Negro peons in power who are most destructive to not just the image of the Black family, but most specifically in honor of our ancestors on the first night on Black Power Radio of Black History Month. I would say let's honor our female ancestors, our sister warriors, like Yah Santiwe, as we lift her name up in honor and remembrance of Sister Queen Candace, and we lift her name up in honor, and we also remember Comrade Harriet Tubman, we lift her name up in honor, we'll remember what Negro peon assisted in changing the black woman's ability from being these queens that we just uplifted to the sisters who are the copyrighted carbon copy of Nicki Minaj. How do we go from Yah Santiwe to Nicki Minaj and Trina? I would suppose because black women have one real goal after she gives birth, and that is to what? Provide for her family. So I suppose she has been put into the mind state that she has to do whatever she has to do to provide for her family. Now, we go back in time and we see the economic destruction of the black community and we see the displacement of the black man. Well, we would understand why the black woman feels and has to do whatever she has to do to feed her family. But somewhere along the lines, the tactics that were given to her or the tactics or strategies that were provided to her or circumstances created so she did not have the ability to see any other tactic or strategy came from someone of her own color and genetics working for the opposite side. So, given the definition we've already laid out tonight, family, who do you think that would be? I think it would be a Negro peon who came along and changed the black woman's ability to use her power to redefine her essence and project it towards the destruction of white supremacy. The Negro peon man came and spit all of his slickery, trickery, and good game and taught the black woman, trained the black woman, and coerced the black woman into a position where now she will do whatever it takes to not only feed her family, but destroy herself at the same time. Family, this is something that we could go over for hours if we break down the different schools of thought on how the destruction of the black woman and the degradation of the black man into a subservient puppet is an issue that we could touch all night, but we won't. I wanted to just give an opening so that you can go back and re-study, reanalyze, and then develop strategies and tactics to erase, eradicate, and destroy the Negro peon tendencies that you have dwelling within yourself. Because like I said earlier, we all have these tendencies. But the black man has a responsibility. And I know we always try and deal in the duality. We always try and bring light to a situation and give hope. But the only hope I have to give you, African family, right now is that if you do not clean up, if you do not straighten up yourself now, you will be destroyed. We will be destroyed. So we don't have time for you to figure out how bad of a Negro peon you are. You must first accept that you are and either destroy it within yourself completely or just alleviate yourself from our presence because you are detrimental to the survival of the black nation. Now, I would like to think when we analyze the destruction of the black family, we would take into account the pivotal role of the black man and how often we misunderstand how his very power has been used to perpetuate the destruction of the overall community just by his mere image being dangled in front of us in various degrees ways. So now, the Negro peon is so disguised behind beautiful Africanality, charisma, rhythm, jazz and blues, hip-hop and R&B, sports, Super Bowls, and all kinds of BS, that we have no ability or we have no starting point to define who is our enemy, who isn't. But we would have a greater chance of analysis if we had not watered down our ability to define our phenomena and make it act in a desired manner, because we chose the wrong filter to see through in the beginning. We must now take off these whitewashed glasses, these rose-colored lenses that we swagged out so well to fit with the rest of our new school African slash Western garb. We must take off the frames of disillusionment and put back on our Africanality, open up our third eye and realize that there is no way that we can go to a point of how we originally were if we do not erase everything that we became after the destruction of our origins. It is undialectical, unscientific, and illogical. Have to deal with the fact that Europeanized characteristics, cultures, mannerisms, emotions, vocabulary, words, grammar, and physical attraction even comes from slavery. We must accept that the very people that we may look up to the most in modern black society, once we take off the filters of white supremacy and put back on our African eyes, we'll see that they don't really stand for us. They are really not a part of us. They only look like us. Once we take off our frames of disillusionment, we will be able to see the lies of white supremacy. But if you are comfortable in the lies, if you are comfortable buying a $150 pair of Jordans, but Jordan has never been in your community, fed any of your kids, or helped pay any of your bills, if you are comfortable with, at any given moment, the state can come into your home and rearrange it, change the family name, remove family members, and completely control the rest of your existence due to a clause and an act and a secret vote that you didn't know about. If you're okay with the standard of beauty always and forever being European and the tokens of Africanality are sprinkled down in little baby dolls and cartoon characters with exaggerated lips and voices. If you're okay with any of this, then guess what? You're a Negro peon. And I've answered the question for you. But if you are not family, then we must really and truly be honest with ourselves and start to dissect our actions and control our thoughts. But as a black woman speaking directly to the black man, I'm telling you, I hold you responsible for what you know. And you brothers that so eloquently can spit so much African history, can name yourself in so many Nuwapian syllables that it does not fit on my phone screen, you brothers have a responsibility to set a standard. And this standard is not quasi-African pseudo-European. It is decadent, it is counterproductive, and it is counter-revolutionary. So, before we bring on our national chairman, we have about 30 more minutes to go into more descriptive analysis of the European destruction of our community. But I think we need to get a better example of how it directly is affecting the leadership of the conscious community. And better yet, I will go even further as to say Negro peons have stifled the growth of the black leadership in our community. I say this for several reasons. One of the most pertinent in the front of my head is that the black leadership of the old guard, the old revolutionary elements of the 60s and 70s that were supposed to give my generation the baton, supposed to have carried on some form of guiding rites of passage, initiation into the process of consciousness and struggle. They chose to carry on with the governing powers. They chose to fall back into the class of pseudo middle class age bracket, 501c3 social security welfare aiding recipients, and turn their back on you. This was the beginning of our elders turning into Negro peons. This is the reason why my generation, the 80s babies, the mutants of the aftermath of the destruction of the Black Liberation Movement of the Old Guard, we were left with no one to tell us, guide us, or point us in any type of direction. The Negro peon leaders that rolled around in the blood of our martyred brothers like Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, token freedom in front of our face, screamed and cried and bit their thumbs on trying to be president, on trying to be the next puppet. But guess what? We also had black leaders come up who refused to take the checks of the Negro peon leaders that led us astray. We had beautiful black bald-headed brothers like Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who forever steadfast in pointing a Negro peon out and telling the black woman, look, there is a black man here still willing to defend you by any means necessary. I will not hand you over to the white man for an extra plate. This is the reason why we're speaking on this concept tonight on Black Power Radio. If you thought it was a joke because of the name before, guess again. That is only the simplest way that we could give you a term to overstand the disease that you suffer from. I will not put a Band-Aid on your cancer. I have to figure out the best method to destroy every cancerous white supremacy cell in your body. And then maybe cancer of white supremacy has not spread too far, you might survive and recover into a full African. Hopefully, you have not dwelled and wallowed in the Negro peonist mentality for too long, and you can be saved. Black Power Radio is the standard for higher education. We do not tiptoe through any other tulips here. And it is my goal and one of my greatest honors to follow in the footsteps of one such as a Sean Qualley, who every time you heard Black Power Radio, you got the fiery truth. So I can't do anything but give you myself and more, which is unadulterated, ungovernable, and unapologetic truth. I hope that I have shed some light into your psychosis and some of the circumstances surrounding the different degrees of white supremacy our people are suffering from, especially in the Black Liberation Movement. Because I may be the national spokeswoman of New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We may have beautiful sisters like Sister Amira Sankofa Kweli. We have sisters like Keisha Yore, sisters like Sister Sheree Freedom. We got sisters all over this place. But ask yourself this, out of the history of black liberation that you've studied or read, how many of it involves black women? And if it are black women involved in the black liberation movement in your studies, pay attention to the gaps in history. Because I don't know about you, but I know if I think back chronologically, there seems to be a 40, 50-year gap between prominent sisters standing up, sometimes hundreds almost. Not to take away from my queens, because I know we have continued the struggle from the beginning of the first white man sticking his white pink toe on the sandy beaches of Africa. But what I'm telling you is, if you be honest, the majority of the women who did any type of work were always pushed to the background and pushed out, and therefore were not documented in history. And the ones that were far too in between time periods to help the remembrance stay in the forefront of our people's pride. So, comrades, family, brothers, sisters, elders, and children, Pi Radio tonight is going to deal with the causes and the effects. We're going to deal with the degradants, and we're going to deal with the degradant. Tonight, we're going to deal with the Negro peons and European pigs, puppets, the patrollers, the controllers. But we're going to deal with how we're going to eradicate this. My best suggestion of eradication of the Negro peon mentality would be to fully encompass yourself into Africanality and do not pick and choose what part of Africa you want to claim. And we can save the rest of that for another topic on another show. But we will have to deal with the acceptance of you have been indoctrinated, trained, brainwashed, hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray. And morphed, mutated into something so disguised that if you are not steadfast in your theory, if you are not steadfast in your study, and if you are not steadfast in your practice, you will lose sight and you will misanalyze a so-called African in front of you. Our people are beautiful in spirit, so beautiful in spirit that we sometimes have the inability to cut off our empathy. We are so passionate about life that we sometimes give people the benefit of the doubt. We have to start dealing with our people the same way we deal with life and death. It is or it isn't. You are alive or you are dead. You are an African or you are not. There is no in-between. And if you want to see a change in the foundation of the black nation, then you must first change the elements that you are building that foundation on. And our nation is built on the black man and the black woman. We cannot have any reciprocity if we are dealing with each other from an alien point of view. It is like trying to have a rabbit and a dog make a new a baby or something, mate, come together and procreate. It's wrong. It won't happen. If it does happen, it'll be some dastardly, horrible creature, a freak of nature almost, a mutant. Well, you take a black man and a woman cast out of Africa, thrown into some beast Babylonian cesspool, as we'll say, called America. You changed their whole entire way of understanding each other. Give them a foreign language to try and explain this phenomenon to each other. And then take away every ability they have to look at the other one with a positive light. And then you ask them to procreate and run a household. Then you ask them to work together to build a business. Then you ask them to have a structured community. And then you sit back and watch it burn down from the inside. So that's exactly what's going to happen. We have to stop lying to ourselves, family. The first lie you ever told yourself was that you were all right. You were only a little bit white. I was only half a slave. I already knew a lot of black stuff. I just chose to get more involved. Whatever you tell yourself at the end of the day, it really doesn't mean anything to anyone on this phone line other than your self-destruction and the prolonged liberation of the rest of us. So, I think we need to first accept what we need to do, family, and then move on. There is a reason why I decided to put out my book. For all those who don't know, I wrote a book series. The first one was released. It's called Cold Soul. Cold Soul in itself is the epitome of the destruction of the black family structure. What happens to the black woman when she feels she has no other recourse but to remove herself from feeling any stimulus of the world and becoming numb? My book is a tribute to the black woman, to the black man. My book is a tribute to the African who stayed fast when everything around them negated their very self-worth. The reason why the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is pushing family and black foundations, black nationhood so strongly is because at the very core of the black liberation struggle, we have a nucleus. And that nucleus is the black family. But all across America, KKK, our black families are in some form of misshapen mess. If they are in a structure of one or two families or one or two parents, they are also in a structure that is unable to communicate. They're also in a structure that has the inability to accept the problems and deal with them correctly. Due to our Negro peon mentalities, we will actually cover up problems, but they're actually symptoms of white supremacy, but we perceive them as just family problems. We will cover these issues up, neglect the child, mistreat elders. These are all symptoms of white supremacy and traits of being a Negro peon. Family, there's something very wrong with the way we communicate and the way we express our Africanality to the next. And it is only because we are communicating in the language of a European, so that therefore makes us talking as Negro peons. Therefore, everything that comes out of our mouths will be contradictory to what we truly want, feel, or believe, because we have the inability to express it in our true dialect. Everything that we deal with on a daily basis is systematic. The mere existence of something as a Negro peon in the black community tells you that our oppression has not happened since. This is all and designed by a system to negate all things African and to perpetuate and uplift the superiority of white supremacy. And once we come to that acceptance, then we can start building on what is Africanality. If we first deal with the fact that Europeanist culture, Europeanized style of thinking, and Western thought, Western concept, period, are not conducive to Africans, are not conducive to blacks, are not productive to Negroes, are not familiar to colors, whatever trait or attribute you feel comfortable labeling yourself, none of this has anything to do with Europe. So we can start dealing with the cause because we have already laid out the effects. Once again, Fasten, this is Black Power Radio. We do not deal with watering down, whitewashing, or tiptoeing through to it, family. I'm going to tell you once again, we will always deal with the truth, and every moment, every second is dedicated to destroying white supremacy. That is my mission. That is my goal. And tonight, I aim to destroy the Negro peon in every way, shape, form, or fashion. If the Negro peon is on the phone right now, and I know that he or she is, I hope you are sitting there sweating and trying to figure out what is the next step on how to deal with yourself. Because you should feel the rage of the Africans on this phone, and you should feel the energy of how much we are tired and ready to reclaim our throne. You don't have the time or luxury. I was speaking with a brother and sister the other day, and they asked me, why do I always sound angry when I talk? I had to give them first a lesson in emotions, because by us having a Negro peonized mind, we don't have the emotions that we're supposed to have. All these things have been superimposed on us by the slave master. We are not even feeling in the same context that we are supposed to feel, family. But when it comes to being a revolutionary, I am built on intense feelings of love, not hate, as my comrade Che Guevara taught me. Everything you hear me say and do is out of intense feelings of love. So if I'm an impassionate person because I am passionate about freedom, and because I know I'm oppressed, I know I'm not free, and I know I need to be, then I don't have the verbal ability to speak on wanting freedom in a passive nature. I don't have the ability to find a comfortable word that makes revolution sound nice to you. That is not my job. My job is to prepare you, to teach you, and to train you so that you will know what it is to be free. So if my words sound angry, that's because maybe you're a Negro peon and I've struck you somewhere that needed to be struck. This is not a game. We have gone far too comfortable in this black liberation struggle so that now it is not a black liberation struggle anymore. And this is the reason why our children, and especially the youth that are coming up asking the elders what they should do, where they should go, are being turned down and turned back towards the institutions, are handed back over to the space in our dismissed and disenfranchised. We have to prepare our youth. We have to tell them the truth. Only a Negro peon would tell their children that oppression was okay. Just do what you have to not be noticed. Be a good boy. Be a good girl. Maybe they won't see you. We must prepare our children for the inevitability. We must prepare them for the inevitability of their meeting, facing, and having to destroy white supremacy. All of the recourses, all other paths lead to their destruction. You don't have the luxury to wait for another rise of a black messiah. Because of the Negro peons running around our community perpetrating such image, our people are now caught under a groupthink mentality, and that is the only way that they will move sometimes, is if one person stands up, rises up, charismatically makes a speech, gets everybody to clap at the same time, and then they are murdered, and now you are all sad, and now you are all not doing anything again. I'm sorry if it hurts, but this is what it is, and this is what we have done. And this is why the Negro peon mentality must be destroyed. This is why as a black woman, I have to speak out. I have to demand the black man rise up once again and take back his throne. I must set the standard and the requirements that must be met to be with the new African woman. There is no more shuckle and jive, Chico DeBarge, tight pants, Jerry Curl, tube top wearing, bend over backwards, do whatever you say, yes boy, do boy, be boy, wannabe bull anymore from the black woman, because you don't want the black man to be taken from you and destroyed by white supremacy for standing and being a warrior. We will no longer make you adhere to that standard as long as I have something to say about it. And the rest of the sisters on this phone have something to say about it. This is a new age. It is 2014, and we have to deal with white supremacy, white superiority, white brainwashing in the black nation. And if you truly, truly want our children to understand, then you must tell them the truth. I wrote my book, Cold Soul, from the viewpoint of my lifestyle. I use my personal experience as a youth, as a black woman, as a child, to explain what happens when you have Negro peons in charge of the culture of a child. When you have Negro peons in charge of the engendering of self-esteem, self-worth, and knowledge of self into a child, what are the consequences and repercussions of this act? What happens to a little black girl when she is defenseless and without the knowledge to defend herself against people who look like herself, look like her family, speak like those who look like her, but come from a Europeanized culture, a westernized way of thinking, and a bastardized background. And she is brutalized. These are all symptoms of white supremacy, family. These are all effects of the cause that we are too weak and or scared to deal with. Well, Nadia Shakur, Queen Commander of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, is neither of these things, and I will deal with cause. I will point out the cause as I so eloquently pointed out the effects, because we will always deal with duality. And I tell you here tonight, family, on Black Power Radio, at the beginning of Black History Month, that we will deal with all the symptoms of white supremacy, but we will also surgically remove the cause of that white supremacist action, that disease, whatever tumor of Babylon that dwells within your body. We are here to surgically remove it and sew you back up. This is medicine. Comrades, family members, thank y'all for listening tonight and building with me on this concept of the Negro peon, the demise, the decadence, and the degradation that has happened to the Black man and woman from this concept, but how this Negro peon mentality has destroyed and helped degradate the Black woman. So now at the turn of the hour, I want to bring on my comrade, my brother, my warrior in arms, my National Chief of Staff, Sean Kwali, as he goes into the next hour in the interview of our beautiful and divine spiritual advisor, Dr. Malik Zini Shabazz, the attorney at war. And we're going to hear from our brothers as they give us an analysis of the current pig power structure, the war in the Black community, and we'll hear from Dr. Malik Zini Shabazz on his counteractions, his strikes on the legal front. So I want to thank you all again. I give thanks and I uplift all the names of the ancestors as we close out another session of destroying white supremacy on Black Power Radio, family. Black Power and give thanks, Brother Sean Kwali, Black Power comrade. Welcome to Black Power Radio, and once again, sir, it's an honor to be on here with you today. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, all power to the people. Freedom of death. My honor to be on with you, Sister Queen Warrior, Queen Commander Nadia Asada Shakur, a national spokeswoman. And I know that everyone who's listening, you feel good to hear this Queen Warrior's voice and her break down the Negro peon the way that she did and go into what's actually happening within our families. We're very proud of you. And I'm very thankful for your work, and of course, going to hear much more from you and from many more of our sisters within the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We have no intention on being a male-dominated organization. We very much want to and will practice and fulfill the role of Maat, which is balance, harmony, justice, reciprocity, peace, and that order. And so we thank you, Sister National Spokeswoman, for your work, your effort, your diligent time, your study, and we will watch you continue to grow and grow this radio show. We want everyone listening to continue to support her and to support her work and support the efforts as she's working hard to help our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, who I send you and bring you greetings from. He's working hard, making sure that this national summit that's coming up for the new Black Panther Party, that happens right for our people, and that we have what we need as an organizational vehicle to get our needs, wants, and demands met. We're talking about Black Power. Make no mistake about it. It's Black Power Radio. This is Monday night. Every Monday night, we bring you the truth, raw, uncut, and undiluted, untampered with, in any form. And tonight is no different, as we will in a few moments hear from our big brother who served as our national chairman for 12 years, over a decade. He is on record, brothers and sisters, as the longest standing chairman, the longest standing national chairman of any Panther regiment. We have no disrespect for Brother Bobby Seale, who served for his many years. We have no disrespect for the organizers in Lowndes County, Alabama, who served with that Black Panther Party. No disrespect to any of the Black Panthers who served in the Northern California chapter or the early Chicago chapter before Deputy Fred Hampton Sr., but Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz served as the longest-standing Black Panther, new Black Panther chairman anywhere in the world. That means that's 12 years of sabotage attempts. That's 12 years of sometimes disappointment, 12 years of heartache sometimes, 12 years of spending your expenses sometimes that you don't have, 12 years sometimes of being away from your family, 12 years of crisscrossing the road, 12 years in these airlines, these airports, being harassed by TSA, being harassed by NSA, harassed by the FBI, harassed by the government in many different elements, and harassed by, as my sister say, Negro peons as well. So this man is built for tough, as they say, but he's really built God tough. He's a rock of Gibraltar, a brother who has stood the test of time, and a Black man who has been able to continue to battle, now exercising his legal capabilities and exercising his law practice as I bear witness, as I was his national spokesman, as Sister Nadia is our national spokesman. I bear witness this is a Black man who put his legal practice on hold. He put many of the cases that he could have fought, that could have really netted him big fame, big success, put him on Johnny Cochran level. He put that on hold to organize and chair this organization. Now, we owe it to him, and we owe it to his family. We owe it to his little daughter to give him a chance to earn his law practice and push it in the right way, to What I'm saying is to do what he got to do as an attorney. He is the warrior lawyer. And I've coined that phrase, attorney general, because he's not some Peterbread punk attorney sitting behind a desk somewhere scared of the fight. This is a Black man who has been in the battle, been in the war, been locked down before, a brother who is not scared to roll up his sleeves and get dirty when it needed to get dirty, but he's trying to clean up some filthy Black people out here. He is the president and national director of Black Lawyers for Justice, and he's going to tell you more about that as he has been crisscrossing the country and moving the ball on the legal revolutionary front. I want you brothers and sisters to welcome no stranger of ours, our former national chairman, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, our friend, and most of all, our brother. This is Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Welcome, Black Power, sir. You're on with me and Sister Nadia Shakur, Black Power.
All right, Black Power.
All right, he came in strong and fell right off strong. He's going to come right black. I'm telling you, these phone lines is something else. And then, you know, I don't want to belabor the point. I want you all to make sure you all have your questions ready for the brother attorney, too. He is prepared to take your questions. He is going to train us tonight on how to kick the police behind. Kick the police behind right in your community. Kick them behind right where you are. He's going to teach you how to get them tied up and wrangled up and wrapped up. He's going to teach you what Black people must do and must know. I think he's back with us. Let me see if my brother Teddy is back with us now. I gave him such a wonderful introduction. Brother Teddy, you back with us?
All right, I'm black on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black power.
All right, black power to you and to Queen Nadia Shakur, national
black
spokeswoman
power
of the new Black Panther Party. It is my honor to be on here on familiar territory and familiar grounds in Black Power Radio. So I just want to give honor to God, and I want to give honor to the ancestors, and I want to give honor to Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and I want to give honor to all of those who are serving in the ranks of the new Black Panther Party and the Black Power movement. and all those who struggle for revolution today. I'm happy to be on with you all.
Certainly glad to have you on, sir, and know that you have been doing a great work on behalf of black people with your organization, Black Lawyers for Justice. Can you tell us kind of what's been going on with you since we talked to you last?
What's going on now is that we have moved into the forefront of the war against police brutality here and around the country, but specifically here right in Washington, D.C. And so I would say that the plan is going according to schedule, because first we began with the releasing of my booklet, What Black People Need to Know When Dealing with the Police, and that's available right now on my website on www.blfjustice.org, blfjustice.org, like Black Lawyers for Justice website, and I'm sure it soon will be available on the new Black Panther website. And so we started late last year with education, and we continue with education, because I firmly say, like we believe in the Panther Party, we must arm ourselves or harm ourselves. And like the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton, who was a student of the law and later tried to be a lawyer in the later stages of his career, but he was a firm advocate of education. Know your constitutional rights. Know your Second Amendment rights. Know your Fourth Amendment rights. That was the base of the work of the new Black Panther, of the Black Panther Party, and it should be a base of the work of the new Black Panther Party today, a base of the work of Black Lawyers for Justice for sure, is legal education and letting people know what their rights are. And so I'm here to say that to all of those who are on the phone, whether you're lawyers or not, if you are concerned about police brutality, if you're tired of the pig, and I know you are, don't even have to make much of an argument, then what I have to say tonight on Black Power Radio and the discussion will bring about unity. We need a united front on many levels, but certainly we need a united front against police brutality. And so a united front against ignorance of the how to deal with this police brutality. Okay, so we started with education, we released our booklet, and also Black Lawyers for Justice opened up our front in Washington, D.C. against gentrification. And that has since evolved into a coalition here called the Coalition to Save Black Washington, D.C. It consists of people in the housing projects, public housing advocates, affordable housing advocates, rights and justice system advocates, residents, nationalists, those who want to work with men and men only. Just, brother, we got a movement here in D.C. that is taking shape steadily and surely. And that was what Black Lawyers did to offer to the community and also to reintroduce itself. Because we have been here since 1996, but I had to reintroduce myself because most of you in the radio listening audience and those in Washington, D.C., you know me as the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. And I'm honored, most honored, to have served with distinction for 12 solid years as the chairman of this mighty organization. And I still have to tell you I'm a Panther for life. And I support the current leadership of my former chief of staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga, Minister Sean Quali, the new chief of staff and the legendary national spokesman, the national spokesperson now, Queen Nadia Shakur, and the great author, the freedom fighter and revolutionary organizer, King Samir, all of them, Brother Ali, Brother Mike, Bilal, Heru, all of them from around the country. I'm saying whoever's listening, I'm with this leadership. I'm helping to inspire this leadership. I can't say I control this leadership. They are grown men and running their own agenda. But I'm backing them with everything I got, and I'm putting my money on this squad here in the new Black Panther Party that they will continue to be the forerunners of black nationalism in the hells of North America, and I'm going to put my elbow grease behind it. And so I just say all of that to say, brother, you know, I went through a transformation. I went through to a certain extent a metamorphosis, but also a homecoming and a returning to where I'm really was at when I graduated Howard University School of Law. I mean, I'm right here now after putting out our booklet and education and help getting our city mobilized and reintroducing black lawyers for justice to the city. Now I'm blessed for my clients that I have had and do have, victims, people and brothers and sisters and families who are being brutalized by police brutality, families who have lost their loved ones and their sons gunned down in the streets to officers, so-called officers or cops, brute beast police brutality affecting the black man and woman of Washington, D.C. greatly. And so now I'm blessed to be right now toe-to-toe in the fight with the largest police force per square foot anywhere in America. There are more policemen, more MPD, Metropolitan Police Department officers, FBI, Homeland Security, Park Police, a whole array of police, more police per square foot per square mile, more police per person in Washington, D.C., than anywhere in the United States of America. Now, so here I am, and Black Lawyers for Justice, and my colleague, the legendary and the powerful attorney Greg Latimer, one who was trusted by Johnny Cochran in his day. He called on attorney Greg Latimer to help him with his cases against the police in the days of the heyday of police killings in Washington, D.C. in the late 1990s. It was Johnny Cochran who called on Greg Latimer in those days. And though today you see the Cochran firm mainly talking about car accidents, if you've been in a car accident, call Johnny Cochran. I mean, damn, I'm disappointed that those that are claiming his heirs at the Cochran firm are only interested in some car accidents. I mean, damn. But anyway, that leaves Greg Latimer to Black Lawyers for Justice. That leaves some of the coldest ones around the country to Black Lawyers for Justice. At any rate, to answer the question, my brother, we have filed several multi-million dollar lawsuits as damages, as punishment, as compensation to the families. Clemens Webson, who was a black man, on April 9th was shot down and killed by the Washington, D.C. police here in Washington, D.C., in the middle of an area that's known for racial targeting and profiling. That lawsuit was filed on the same day was filed for others that you see on my Facebook page or in the news and information section for Black Lawyers for Justice website. Then you will see the other cases, young JBR, the minor, the Muslim student at the University of Islam who was trained on police rights shortly before he was vamped on and he was accosted and assaulted by two Caucasian officers of the Metropolitan Police Department a few weeks after his training. And so this is an interesting dynamic here. You know, brother, I've been trusted by, this is a good young man. He's not selling dope. He's not selling drugs. He's not being arrested. He's not committing any crimes. So why is he being pulled over by two cops acting like gang members, jumping out their vehicle, throwing him up against the car, searching his body, even though he's saying all the right words? No, I don't want to be searched. Let me see a white shirt, a commanding officer. He's doing everything right, yet he still be assaulted by these two gang members. Let me say this, these two gang members who are posing as police officers in the District of Columbia and violating the Fourth Amendment rights of search and seizure against our black brothers and sisters. God damn it, you have met your match. In this year, 2014, somebody's going to stand up right here to deal with this beast in Washington, D.C., no matter how many men he got per square foot, per square mile. So without getting too excited, what I'm trying to tell you is that we filed 3 lawsuits. We're holding the police accountable. We're trying to take them for everything they got, but not for the purpose of just some money. We want justice. We want an end to the harassment of our people. We're making a point, and we're on the point in Washington, D.C., and it's all in the news, and it's got them backpedaling, and the people are fired up and calling in every day. And at the news conference, there were activists from the Panther Party, from the NAACP, from city council candidates. And so this city needs black lawyers for justice. And so I'll get further into it, but that's the base of where I'm at right now, brother. I'm into litigation. I'm into really digging into some of these officers who are acting like criminals and getting ready to get into their personal business as we get down to this warfare. And we're recruiting for a class action lawsuit at the moment, a class action lawsuit that has sent ripples and waves.
All right, he was right on it, right on that point. And dropped the call. Number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. Y'all, this is Black Power Radio. And we're doing some live radio right now talking with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz as he is talking about a wrongful suit, and some other stuff that's going on. This man is out there pushing on the battlefield, and I want you all to be able to ask him your questions because I know everybody on this line, majority of all of us on this line, have been pulled over and have had a deal with the police. Ask him your questions on what to do. He's back with us now. Brother Tony, go ahead and finish your point, sir. We got you.
All right. Yeah, I'm. You know these phones. Thank you for working with me. I'm here.
So, yes, sir. So let's back you up a little bit because since we talked to you last, you have become entrenched in D.C. Now, we've always been in D.C. We know that's your base. But it seems like you went buck wild in the city of Washington, D.C., right there in the head of the snake. Now, we noticed you did a big thing with Brother Kadir Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, and some other young activists and young lawyers, and you even had some with Francis Cliff Welsing, Dan Mitchell, we saw. Can you kind of explain what was going on and what happened with that meeting?
Well, you know, brother, it's important when you have the ability to focus on one area and then you go and get national and international experience, but then you have the ability to focus on one concentrated area, you know, you can be dangerous. You know, so I've been on a sojourn, but I know why God sent me to do it. And now I believe what I'm doing in Washington, D.C. is an example to every activist on the line. No matter what organization you're in, I think that the work that we're doing here in Washington, D.C. is an example to all of you still as we go about our training process to try to build our movement in every city. And so what I'm saying, my dear brother, is now I know my city well. I've been here. I ran for city council and office. I've been a Howard University student. I've lived in all parts of the city. And then I was taken around the country to help build black nationalism and build the Panther Party and build Pan-Africanism around the world. So when I come back home, I immediately know which moves to make and how to make them. And the people here need leadership. It's not that I'm some kind of wonder man. Without the resume that I have, if you will understand what we're doing in Washington, D.C., and duplicate it, then our movement will be secure across the country. So let me give some examples. You know, gentrification is a problem here. And because it's a problem here, the way we go about attacking the problem is what brings us good results here. You see, it's problems in every city, and we have to deal with the problems that the people are facing. We can't be in another world or another arena or teaching another subject other than what the people are really dealing with. The people are suffering right now in their neighborhoods. They're suffering from a lack of jobs and education, a whole host of problems. And you got to meet the needs of the people. So we're meeting the needs of the people by organizing against gentrification. We're meeting the needs of the people who just need strong leadership. Nobody here wants to just stand up and be straight up black for black people. It's always some kind of integrationist format. And so they respond. The people here need relief from police brutality, and they need lawyers that will stand up and defend the people and somebody to just stand up straight up for us. And so, you know, by design or by default, man, a whole lot by default, then I become that man here. But what I want to tell you in the radio listening audience is that the same power that I'm using here, the same strategy, the same tactics that I'm using in Washington, D.C., you should use them in every other city. And many of you, I've given an example in many other cities on how to organize. And so, you know, brother, I'm at home. I feel comfortable. You know, when you're traveling and when you're trying to organize New York from Washington, D.C., I mean, it can wear your ass out. I mean, just straight
up. Yes, sir.
Trying to organize a city 300 miles away can leave you wounded and bruised. But when you get to work hard and go to bed in your own bed at night and get right back on that battlefield, you know, I just feel comfortable here. I'm in a good rhythm, and now I'm branching out. Now I'm able to branch out without getting stressed out, I would say. For example, I just came from Philadelphia. We were helping and got at least some information and talked to the mother of the young boy there who, well, he's a minor, so I won't mention his name, but who's all in the news because the police in Philadelphia brutalized him and ruptured his testicles. They roughed him up so hard in Philadelphia, which has been all in the news. A terrible case of police brutality and the way they profile and target our young men. So I was there, and I can say that, you know, we have lawyers in Philadelphia now, Black Lawyers for Justice. We got lawyers in Texas where I'll be headed in a couple of days. A family of a brother who was close in the movement and one of his close family members was killed. It's been in the news there. Was killed when the old budget motel, old no good budget motel, had ran a facility that was negligent, very negligent, and allowed carbon monoxide to just kill the black man because they had faulty equipment and faulty operation systems. And so our people are being killed in other ways, even due to negligence and the negligence that comes from corrupt capitalism that doesn't put the people they serve first, puts them at risk, and then causes the death of our people. I'll be in Texas on Wednesday. And so I'm making some moves, and I'm going to be in Atlanta. Certainly at the end of March, I want to be and going to be in that number who will be at the new Black Panther National Summit and hosted by our chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. I'm going to be in that number. And I'm also going to be in Detroit from February 22nd and certainly the 23rd to hear from Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is the leader of the Nation of Islam. I'm going to be with him also. And so, brother, that's a busy schedule, black man, because also on the 26th, I'm going to be at Bowie State University again. They bringing me back, but this time they cutting a check. So I can say all praise is due to Allah. Now I'm getting some checks cut up in this bad boy.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. No. And on February the 13th, February the 13th, I'll be at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois, at Northern Illinois on the 13th. That's next week, next, I think, Thursday. I'm in there to teach a lecture to the black students on my Black Empowerment College Tour. So, you know, I got a base here. I got a schedule. And I just feel like I'm in a good place to fight. I'm happy to be on, man, and I'm happy to be back on here with my family. Let me be quiet because I know people want to ask questions.
You already know. Go ahead and ask questions. We're going to go to the phone.
Yes, sir. Sir, I just wanted to ask Dr. Shabazz one question on the prestige of power. Before we go to the lines, brother, by you being our attorney at war, what can you tell the askers on this phone line about how your analysis of white supremacy has been sharpened by you being able to see behind enemy lines, per se? Because I don't think people understand how powerful it is for you to be an attorney at war and have exhausted all means on the revolutionary front on our side and then still exhausting the legal front to expose the contradictions of white supremacy.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to get behind these enemy lines, sister. And you got to really see how much dirt that this devil is doing. And sometimes the only way you can do it is by having the legal power to subpoena, to summons, to depose, take depositions, and to use legal powers to get information and to influence this situation. You know, and it only can come through certain means. And so I'm here to say that the law is valuable. It's very valuable. I'm not going to tell you that it's the panacea of revolution, and I'm not even going to tell you we're going to get liberated by mastering the law. I'm not going to say we're going to achieve true freedom and independence through the court system, which is still controlled by white America, thereby as a white supremacist institution that will never by its own self remove itself. It just ain't going to happen. But, you know, see, here in America, we playing defense and some offense. And we're also surviving, pending what is ultimately to come revolution. Now, here we are, and this is why I reiterate again, I always reiterate this, Huey P. Newton and his sojourn. He started heavily into the law, and at the end of the day, he was in law school. He just never made it all the way. And this is because the Moors are onto it. They have a different way of going about it, but they're into the law for a certain reason. And this is because the people who are killing our babies and the officers that are committing these crimes, there's really no other way to get information on them, to hold them accountable, and to put them on the defensive other than by tying them up in these litigations and suing them, and bringing these facts to light, and also getting the details on how the enemy is manipulating policy in the police departments that's causing racial profiling and death on the streets. Let me explain. Let me make this a little bit clearer. In Washington, D.C., we're building towards a class action lawsuit. A whole group of persons that represent virtually our whole population in the city. And what we are going to do is we are going to file suit as a group soon. As we get it organized and all of the plaintiffs are chosen. And what we're going to do is we are going to have the laws changed in Washington, D.C. We're going to seek an injunction. We're going to seek a federal court order that will prevent racial profiling in the city of Washington, D.C. Now, it may not wipe it out on the street overnight, but it will dramatically change the way police are allowed to operate in the city. It will be a victory. It won't be the victory, but it'll be a victory. But let me tell you how we get to the victory. You see, while you got lawyers that are suing, lawyers that are educating, you got other lawyers here that are, you know, half the time we defending somebody in many of these cases, they got trumped up charges on them. So while the lawyers are doing their job, you see, what Black Lawyers for Justice need in this city and what we need in every city is when you got attorneys that are fighting on the front lines, this is the perfect time now where we need agitators and organizers that want to do nothing but light up the streets. You see? And so when you have Black Lawyers for Justice here, it's all in the news. It's in the newspapers. It's everywhere about the corruption in the police department and what we're doing. All we need next is to see them demonstrations up and down the avenues. And it can't just be once every once in a while. We need to see them patrols in the community, the direct patrols with the information we have, but patrolling the community with the cameras and the way that we know how to do it. When you have all of that, when you have agitators and demonstrators, then you got those who are on patrol. Then you got those who are training for self-defense and doing all of that which is required for legal and lawful self-defense in every way, training to the max. Then you got agitators and demonstrators. Then you got some attorneys that's on the case firing on their behind. Then you got that connected to a movement in the city. You're going to have some police brutality and some white supremacy on the defensive.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Already on the defensive right now in Washington, D.C., but we tell no lies and claim no easy victories. This is a powerful, well-armed force here. I'm under no illusion that me, by myself, no matter how strong I believe I am, can face this beast who has overwhelming numbers and goddamn precinct right around the corner. But nevertheless, you know, if not I, then who? If not now, then when? So this is it's time to get it on for those of you in the radio listening audience. It's time to get it on, and it's time for you all to reach your divine destiny and what you are supposed to be doing in this liberation struggle. And what I've been going through is a sign for you. And so it'll be a greater sign for you, I'll tell you, that it have not been easy. You may think that my life is easy or that I'm just blessed all the time, but it have not been easy. It was not easy as the chairman of the New Black Panther Party at all, with an array of enemies and pressures and obligations. And it has not been easy and is not easy today. And so I'm here to tell you that it won't be easy for you. But you have to fulfill your divine destiny. Now is the time for you to hit your mark and hit your peak, and doing what Allah God has commanded you and put in your life history and your DNA, and you know why you own this telephone, that you're supposed to be fulfilling your destiny. It's time for you to hit your mark, because I believe that God is taking me and molding me and working with me to reach my mark, and I want you to meet your mark. And when we meet our mark in 2014, Black power is going to be a much stronger reality.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Thank you,
yes,
Dr. Muzumu Shabazz, for your experience, your trials and tested, battle-trained experience and wisdom that you've given us tonight on Black Power Radio, sir. It's always an honor to speak with you. It's always my honor to work with you, and we'll continue to work with you until otherwise needed. And I don't
think
it'll
happen.
Be needed unless we'll be free.
Unless y'all gonna do something crazy. That ain't never gonna happen.
We'll be free, brother. It'll be my
honor. Y'all are good,
that.
Man. Y'all have all that it takes. I want to open up for some phone line questions, but, you know, there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of talent. And I want to say this before I open up. I do want to report that on Saturday, that I met with members of Jericho and the Jericho Movement in Baltimore. And I also met with, and don't get uptight to the enemies who are on the phone, but I also met with representatives from the Black Gorilla family. the righteous black guerrilla family, the
black
true
power.
Disciples of George and Jonathan Jackson, who are not about killing our people and destroying our people, but they are about waking our people up behind bars and organizing the black man and the black woman behind bars. And so there was a great meeting because it's the first time that I had really had a chance to straight dialogue with members of Jericho. And so Brother Jabbar, I was honored to meet with Brother Jabbar and Brother Jamil and the other comrades who were there, the new Africans who were there, and we really laid some serious plans down here in the mid-Atlantic region, because in Baltimore, they're forming an independent black political party called the Ujima Party, and they're going to take them a year to get them 15,000 signatures, and they're going to be on the ballot. And don't get twisted, they are not saying that voting is the way to freedom, but they are forming, they ain't going with no Green Party, none of that. They're forming a certain kind of political party with revolutionary objectives. So they also, they're working with all prisoners, what they call prisoners of consciousness, brothers and sisters behind bars in general, and working with their families and working with this issue of mass incarceration. And they're organizing around the issue of mass incarceration, because it's a good way to organize. It's an issue that a lot of people are understanding, that it's too many black men locked up in general. And so here come Jericho and Baltimore working with that issue so they can get to what? This issue. This persistent and plaguing problem. Our political prisoners. And so we sat down and we inked a deal out between Black Lawyers for Justice and between the Jericho movement, and to support their objectives. And we have a schedule and a timetable and some moves that we're making. They're very well organized. That Jericho and Baltimore and Brother Jabbar and Brother Jamil are very well organized. They'll be on Black Power Radio next Monday. And so on another level, on the level that we know, when we're talking about nationalism and new African struggle here in the United States of America, I want you to see, understand that Black Lawyers for Justice is now going to be doing a certain kind of work in the political prisoner realm to help, so that they don't always have to be dependent on white law groups. And I ain't knocking nobody, but I'm saying you got to have you some black lawyers. And so those kind of moves are going to be made. And so, you know, these are, now that I have the ability, you see what I'm saying, now that I got the time to really focus on my legal situation, then when I enter into an agreement like that, I can do what? Because they were trying to write some brothers and sisters in jail. But just because they had pictures of Harriet Tubman, Marcus Garvey, and also pictures of Assata Shakur and George Jackson. Well, the prisoners say that's gang information, gang literature. I say, hell no. That's historical. That is First Amendment protected materials. But the prisons aren't playing fair when it comes to brothers and sisters trying to educate behind bars. So I got some things I'm working with them to try to work with their behind bars program, and some legal help I'm going to be giving them. So that's another development that I'm helping out legally on, but it's also a sign that we can create these partnerships and strategic partnerships that work. Another thing that's coming up is I'm also helping the Honorable Dr. Frances Cress Welson. I'm helping her with her situation with gentrification, and she has a serious issue with the Jewish Primary Day School. That's the name of it. The Jewish Primary Day School has moved right to the doorstep of Dr. Frances Cress Welson and has created a hell of a noise hazard and a nuisance right at our Queen Mother, our goddess, our teacher, our elder's doorstep, almost in her bedroom. And so I have been called in. And you know I'm the man for this fight.
Oh, yes,
and
sir.
So I'm not going to say too much more about it right now, but be on standby. Those in the Black Nation, those who can drive to Washington, those who are in Washington, just be on standby in case you are called into action to defend Dr. Francis Kress Welsen, because they are trying to move and push our elder out of her home and to take over. And it's a classic situation here that I really don't want to talk too much, because I'll say too much, so I will go to the phone line right now.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
All
right. Dr. Malik, meet you guys. Brother Sean, we're going to go to the phone line now.
All right, we're ready. Number to call, 646-478-4447. Listen for your first three your area code, and the first three to your first digits. You're going to 504-432-504-432. You're online. This is Black Power Radio. You're able to tell you my link is in your surprise. Black Waters for Justice. Your question. Go ahead. Black Power. Welcome.
Black Power, Brother Sean. Black Power, Brother Malik.
Black Power.
I got two quick questions, Brother Malik. How do you feel about some of the black police officers who are coming against the system? There are things that they don't like. And the second question is, are we getting messed over in the medical field? We should have our own ambulance service like the original party had back in the day?
All right. That's a good, couple of good questions. Our own medical services and ambulance services, your second question, and your first one, what about the black officers who are standing up against the system? There's a scripture that somewhat speaks to this, and it says, when Satan casts out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? And it means that inside any corrupt institution, once inside that corrupt institution, it becomes so obtrusive and oppressive that even those inside of it begin to rise up against it, then its days are numbered. And so what I want to say is this. Throughout my organizing career, particularly with the Million Youth March in New York, there have always been some blacks in law enforcement groups and brothers in uniform who wanted to do the right thing. When the controversy broke out between the city and the Million Youth Marchers in 1998, it was blacks in law enforcement, and it was others who came in and defended our right to march, and who also mediated as best they could on that day. In fact, if you look at the photos from that day, there are some historic photos which I used in court to defend one of the defendants who was tried as a result of the fight at the end of the Million Youth March. There's a photo I used in evidence and in my closing argument, and you can see where the community officers or the black officers with the blue shirts on had to turn against their own riot police in the New York City Police Department, and they are on film face-to-face as the riot police were attempting to attack the march organizers and Dr. Muhammad. What am I saying? I'm saying that the picture speaks a thousand words. What I'm telling you, that it is some brothers and sisters in law enforcement, that all of them are not Uncle Toms, though it's a lot of Uncle Tom blacks in law enforcement, but all are not, but it is a lot, but all are not. But it is a system that is corrupt and wicked to the core, and it's designed to incarcerate and really eliminate black people, and it's really here to protect and serve a system that was set up to keep us down in the beginning. It's here to protect private property. The police are here to protect private property, and they're here to protect a status quo that had long been had the die set against us, and they're here to enforce it and make sure we don't get out of control.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just straight up. And so it's hard for me, to be very honest. He's very honest with me. As much as I appreciate all of that, through the Million Youth March and all of the other times, even some brothers that I know in uniform and those, but it's hard for me to get close to any police officer. Really, it's impossible for me. I'm not close to any cops, but I know some, and they call me, and some of them are ex-cops, and they know what's going on in there, and so I get some information that way. And so what can I say, black man, but those who are in uniform and brothers in uniform to continue to speak up for that which is right, continue to gather as much information as you can. Don't go along with racial profiling against your people and do as best you can inside a system that is likely to punish you if you stand up for right. So you got a hell of a challenge on your hand, but somebody's got to do it. As Attorney Greg Latimer say, well, somebody got to be on the inside trying to do it, so maybe those brothers and sisters are chose to do that. And so they do their job and let me do my job, but we will not be intermixing, you know. I will not be intermixing with me. Now, they might be intermixing with some of you, and that's quite okay. I don't have any swine in my diet.
Proud of that, sir.
Go forth on the court.
Okay, right, so let's go to the next one. We better get some calls in, yeah.
Oh, yes, sir, we got them. Area code 347-406. Area code 347-406. This is Black Power Radio. You're talking to Attorney Malik Zerusha Baz. Come on in with your question, and welcome. We knew they called, yeah. All right, let's call area code 202-735-202-735, Black Power Radio, Attorney Malik Zerusha Baz. Your question, your comment, let's talk, Black Power.
Black power, black power, black power. Ooh, I see the revolutionary blood flowing. I'm very happy to hear everything that's going on, sister. Enjoy your rendition of your book, Cold Soul. I can't wait to get that. Brother Sean Kwali, it's a pleasure and an honor. My friend and comrade, Dr. Malik Zuri Shabazz.
Hey,
I'm constantly researching and moving and doing, brother. I'm very proud of your work and everything. So having said all of that, I just really want you to expound again about what we must do in the area of self-defense and talk about constitutional rights in that area. And I said that to say this, because I think it's a wonderful strategy to put out information and to agitate in order to seek a certain response. I think for the first time in a long time, we're back in the forefront as far as deciding what action shall bring about certain results, and legally, you being on point for that. But for those of us that are not specialists, so to speak, in law and things of that nature, what can you tell us as far as the protection of the community? Again, reiterate the protection of the community for those brothers and sisters that are trying to do a great job on a basic level. Because you still got Louisiana in the balance that is growing a lot. You got a lot of groups that are spurring up that are very supportive down in those regions. You got Mississippi, which I've been working very strong with both states, and the support of the Leslie Thompson campaign, which they have helped us, sending people down and all of that, those things, dealing with that nature, for the dangers that have been on his life and what's happened to him. All right.
All right. That's a pretty wide-open question, but let me try to say this quickly in these last 12 minutes so maybe we get some more calls in. But I want to say that this is a wide-open time in terms of activism in the black community, but it's a good time, but it's a wide-open time. It's a time where if you're an activist and an organizer or a teacher in the black community, or you're pushing programs or you're building something, or you're trying to liberate our people in whatever way you are, this is a good time. People will listen to you. They're going to want to be active and be organized, and they're most of all looking for somebody that will confront these real issues. You see, you're in the sixth year of the presidency of Barack Obama, and now clearly whatever that could do for you and what it can't do for you is clear to the people. And the people know what it can deliver, and they know what it can't deliver. And right now the people are disillusioned. They're upset, and they need some strong brothers and sisters. So as I say, everybody don't have to be a specialist. You know, we can, black lawyers for justice, we can help and handle the legal fight. We're getting attorneys all over the country, and I can be all over the country when it's the right move for me to make. But also, right now, it's just simply, Brother Millier, it's your time to reach your divine destiny. You see what I mean? God don't take something, he doesn't move me to another position without intending to move you to another position. You see, so new stars are to be born in this day and hour, and the main thing y'all got to realize is you got to work together. Don't repeat the back and forth bickering. Don't repeat the back and forth bickering and the petty grievances and the small-mindedness that have hampered the movement. There's a new chance today. So I look for great things from Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson. I look for great things from Chairman Hashim Nzinga. I look for great things from Nadia Shakur, from Sean Kwali, from King Samir, from Michael Taylor. I look for great things from Polite. I look for great things from a host, Najee Muhammad, Taco Wolverine Shakur, the Riders up in Oakland. I'm looking for y'all to do some great things now. And that's why God take me over to another position to give y'all room for y'all to rise. Now, in conclusion on the legal part, I just say this, my dear brother. It's, you know, it's a human rights question. I mean, it's constitutional rights, which is the mother of what they call in America civil rights. But to be honest, it's a human rights question. And squarely in America, it's whether black people will be treated and have the rights of a human being and respected by other human beings in the United States of America, if there can be any true human beings found here. Certainly it's a human rights question. It's an international question. Our question is not to be limited to just the civil courts or the federal courts of America. We are an international case. We have been brought and kidnapped and stolen across international waters. And certainly, as I progress in my career, the international aspects of my practice will come to light. But for right now, my dear brother, what we have to understand is that these constitutional rights were earned, and they wasn't given to us in 1776. They were given to us by the fight of Harriet Tubman and Nat Turner and Martin Luther King and Marcus Garvey and those who forced the hypocrisy of America to the surface and forced a hypocrite to stand by his own law. And now these laws you have rights to, but you have to fight for them. You will not be given them. You have a right to be free from search and seizure, but you got a fight on your hands. You ain't just got no automatic right. Your phone records are being searched and seized. Your emails are being searched and seized. Your body is being searched and seized. Every day, you got a fight on your hands. You have a right to your Second Amendment rights. You have a right to self-defense. You have a right to bear arms. But white law is cheating. The white man is in all of his areas and jurisdiction. He has the right to carry and exercise his Second Amendment rights. And in the areas where you live, you're under gun laws and gun restrictions. And then, damn it, half the time you need to be under a gun law, gun restriction, because you're only killing yourself. So we got work to do to rise to the level where we are mature enough to be respected enough to organize our own army and avail ourselves of our Second Amendment rights and practice them like we got some sense. That is supposed to be one of the primary goals of the Panther Party and the self-defense movement, to be able to really step out there on them Second Amendment rights and carry them out like they got some sense. And so to here to say, dear brother, yes, we can get back further. I don't think I'll have a weekly radio show, but maybe monthly I'm going to do legal shows, and we're going to get into these rights. And y'all can count on me in general to help supply the legal education and the legal ammunition in the movement, and as well as I continue to advise and strategize on how y'all, how we can build the entire movement. Let me take another question, brother, because I know we got to go, but this your year. All of you out there, this is y'all year.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you. We're rolling. Your area code is 215-982-215-982. You are live, Black Power Radio. Attorney Malik Hushabaz, Black Brothers for Justice. Talk to us, Black Power. Welcome.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. This is Ruka Hootie, Philadelphia, New Black Panther Party, Mid-Atlantic Regional Representative. Dr. Shabazz, Black Power, sir.
Hey, Black Power, God, how it feeling, big brother?
Hey, we blessed. We here. And sorry I missed you coming to Philadelphia. And, oh, and Black Power to all my other comrades, from our national chairman, our chief of staff, our national spokesperson, our Black Power to the New Black Panther Party, self-defense. And I missed you coming to Philadelphia. And just with that passion that our spokesperson was talking about, you know, that I'm going to try to control, but without tiptoeing through the tulip too much, I kind of want to ask you. I kind of want to ask you to name the nutcracker that did what she did to our little brother, our baby, our young brother Darren Manning here in Philadelphia. We want to know. And is there any way that we can find out, and what should we do? That's my question, sir.
I can give you a few pointers on what to do, and on another level, only God can really tell you what to do. Because,
right.
You know, the Philadelphia Police Department is one of the most notorious and savage police departments in the history of police departments, from the outrage on Osage and beyond. I can remember an early Panther meeting in 1999, and we were just having a meeting. It wasn't even promoted. And they just saw some Black Panthers. Well, no, what that happened was they had went to a project house up the street from our meeting. And in them days, we were so gung-ho. Whenever we saw the police stopping somebody, we were on the scene. And so while they were investigating, we were so bold, we were going to do our own investigation. It was about six or seven of us. So we went and talked to all of the people and the witnesses, and we had our pads and pencils and took our own reports. And the police was trying to do whatever they were doing. They didn't arrest nobody or anything. So, but it wasn't over there, because we went back down to the meeting where Dr. Collett was teaching, and all of a sudden up the street they came with a line of 20 police cars with their lights on, and they came up the street in a show of force on us with about 20 or more police cars riding through like a massive gang. These no-good bastards, the Philadelphia Police Department.
Yes, sir.
And so this is the same department here, and I don't know if that officer's name, that cop's name, is in the papers. It might be in the papers.
No, it's not.
Well, you know, brother, just as the victim is being known and seen everywhere, her face and name, it wouldn't hurt if her face and name were seen everywhere also. It's time for us to not just see the victims, but it's also for us to see the victimizers and other details. You know, I don't know too much about this, but this is what I heard on the streets in Philly when I was there. I was only there for a minute, but this is what I heard. I didn't know whether it was true or not. But I heard that not only in Philly, but around the country, they were going to start putting the names and the addresses and the pictures of all of these officers and cops that abuse our people, that they were going to start appearing on the lamp poles and the light poles and everywhere on the internet, everywhere, all over the country. And that these officers, this is what I heard, and I don't know if it's true, that these officers wouldn't be able to even go anywhere without being identified as being one of the brutalizers of our people. I didn't know too much about that. From what I heard about that, that sounded like a hell of a beginning tactic in identifying the brutalizers of our people. And so, you know, between that and then other things which I suggested earlier that we must begin doing, we have to have police patrols in the hells of America.
Right.
We have to have, somebody has got to be out here organizing and setting a standard for some kind of monitoring and observation. We have to build a culture of monitoring and observation in America. And in general, you just got to fire up our people. Because if you fire up our people, the fire of God going to get in them, and somebody going to get, in self-defense, somebody going to get fired on, if you know what I mean. You have to just fire our people up, man. Our people, some of them, they ain't got too much as they see it. I see it different, but from their perspective, they ain't got too much to live for anyway. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, brother, the possibilities are endless, black man. You know, the possibilities are endless, and it's not a play subject. These police departments is not a subject to play with. They will kill you. So this is a serious subject, and it ain't nothing to play with.
Black power.
Yeah, and, so just, you know, organize. You in Philadelphia, you know,
yes, sir.
Y'all faced it for many, many years. You got to find a way to organize. Now, see, some of these issues, what I'm trying to do is for y'all to call me. If somebody is killed out there by these police or it's a serious police case, you got to get the right lawyer on the case. Because if you get the wrong lawyer on the case, the lawyer is going to squash the activist.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyer is going to make sure that the activists get a cold shoulder, make sure that you all are scattered and told to die down. And normally that's what makes these cases worth nothing. Nothing. Not even some money, because half the time when the heat is off, the money will come off the table too. And so you got to have the right lawyers that know the activists, down with the activists, know how to team up with the activists and the organizers, and then these cities will catch fire in every way. So I plan on helping the game to change as we move forward. Y'all call me. Call us first at Black Lawyers for Justice. We will not shun the activists and shut down the activists. We need the activists to be out here on the streets and on top of these police, and they need legal support and legal protection.
Right, power.
Yes, sir.
I know we off the web, but I'll take a few more offline, and then I gotta get into something else. But
power,
yeah, you got your work cut out for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Bobby Worthy of Waycross, Georgia, because he is, of all this kind of talk I'm talking about police brutality activism, Bobby Worthy of Waycross, Georgia is one of the best men out there at doing it. You should follow his page on Facebook, and you should follow him. He's at the Justice League in Waycross, Georgia, and he's also the representative in that area for the New Black Panther Party. Be on the lookout for Bobby Worthy, because he has no fear of the enemy, and he's all in them courtrooms and on these police back every day, and he's going to be, I predict that this will be a strong year for him too.
Yes, sir. A couple more here. Air code 773-416-773-416. You're on live now. This is Black Power Radio here with Attorney Malik Fu Shabazz. Black Lawyers for Justice, your question, comment, come on in. Welcome, Black Pop.
Well, you know, assalamu alaikum. I'm calling from out of Chicago. And what I would really like to ask is, why is it a possibility there could be a stronger presence of the new Black Panther movement, or the Black Panther movement in Chicago? Is it a possibility they could, you know, start working with the Nation of Islam, the Food of Islam? They're disciplined and all these things, but we need a stronger presence. Young people want to know, how did you join the New Black Panthers? And they don't even know where to go at in Chicago to get this information, because there's nobody passing out Panthers.
That's a
Great.
I'm
going to
let
great
Sean Quali take that one. The National Chief of Staff.
Yes, sir. Jumping in just very quickly, brother. We've been trying to build for years in Chicago, just looking for the right fit and right match and people with the right spirit and courage to do it. And you could be that. The information will be up on our website, but it's down right now for retooling. We're putting up some new information on there. In the meantime, in between time, you can email us at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. That's newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. Our people will take your information here off of the air and get in touch with you, brother, to let you know how to organize with us in Chicago. We need more up in Chicago. We got to stretch out. We do work with the Nation of Islam in Chicago. And so if you're going to do that, we're welcome to have you, black man.
I mean, you know, if you sit there, you know, Minister Farrakhan definitely can organize. He knows how to, just like yourself, they knows how to organize young black men. But maybe it could be sit-down with him and Brother Malik, and they could sit on down. And I'm just making a suggestion. That's all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. Well, I'm going to. He said he want me to sit down with who?
Minister Farrakhan.
Sit down with the minister, Minister Farrakhan.
My dear brother, I have sat down with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on probably about 50 occasions, and for dinner on probably about 20 occasions,
mm-hmm.
and to really organize something such as a Millions More Movement or Million Man March or some other move for our people, reparations, sat with him and strategically work with him for some months at times on different projects. So I would say that I have good relations with him. I have good intentions towards him and vice versa. And I will be at Savior's Day with him to see what direction he's going in. I know he's going for liberation, but to hear specifics on where he's going and what he is doing. And anyway, brother, I could help him, I will. But, you know, our relationship is pretty much cut out right now. He knows what I'm about, and I know clearly what he is about, and he knows what I'm about. My relationship with the Nation of Islam is strong right now in the sense that many of them who are with him.
I was saying, excuse me, sir, I was saying that he could join the young black, the new Black Panthers. That's what I was basically saying.
That he should join the new Black Panthers?
Yeah, he can motivate. Be the catalyst to get young men in Chicago to join the new Black Panther movement. That's something that he could be used for that.
Brother,
generate.
I don't want to delude you at all, black man. Now, Louis Farrakhan will not be recruiting for the new Black Panther Party Chicago chapter. Now, that will not be happening. Not directly,
yes, sir.
But indirectly. Then directly, if there was a Panther chapter in Chicago, like Sean Quali is trying to hip you to, if there's somebody that got some sense and some strength in Chicago that want to get with us, then at times when we come and I come to Chicago, we can plug you in with the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan, and they will put an umbrella around you, and they will give you some love and some rhythm, and in that way, they can help build the Panther chapter. But I can safely say, from my experience in the party and for the party today, we need somebody in Chicago that will stand
that's
up
right
for the Panther Party, and somebody that's got sense. I say sense and strength. If you're going to stand up in Chicago, you got to have strength, because they're going to be haters. I don't care how good you do in Chicago, you will be attacked the moment you try to do good. That is
yes,
a rule. It's a damn Chicago rule. I got a rule book on Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Number two is some sense. You can't be crazy as hell and get this job done. So whoever got some sense and some strength, and it might be you, black man. You seem to be that interested in it. We got to show and prove.
Well, I do a TV show called The Underground Railroad in Chicago, you know. But I help out in different ways by talking to different brothers in the community and disseminating information.
You keep right on disseminating, black God.
I'm doing it live.
We're going to see you soon, black man.
All praises to the Allah.
Stay strong, black man. All right, love you. Stay strong and Black Power.
Love you too, brother. Alhamdulillah. Keep us
all right,
work.
Black Power. Got another one here, brother. I know you got to move. Take one more. 845-616-845-616. You're on live with Tony Malik and Lucia Baz. President of Black Words for Justice. You got a question for him. Present it now. Black Power. Welcome to the radio broadcast. You're on. And call 845-616. Your mic is open. You got a question for Tony Malik from Shabazz. All right. And call 914-258-914-258. Your microphone's open. You're talking to Tony Malik from Shabazz. Go ahead with your question or comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power, comrade. Black Power, Malik Shabazz, Shabazz, and Chief of Staff. This is Brother Ali from New York, Black Power, local field marshal of the New Black Panther Party in New York. I wanted to throw out there our work here that we're starting to do in New York City. We are collectively getting together to work and interview homeless people who are out in the street. As an example, we're in Penn Station in New York City. We arrived there. Whenever we attended our meetings, we arrived there, and we had witnessed police. Oh snap! We witnessed police men just, you know, overshadowing the people with their guns out and all of that, interviewing homeless people. Now, I always videotape the action of the police whenever I'm up there, and They are very aware that we are on the scene, and they stand down wherever we arrive there. But the homeless people out there, they...
Well, let me get to that question, Black Man. Time is rolling.
Okay. Well, the question is this, that, you know, we're trying to, you know, help the homeless people here and also the missing children. So in that case, what's the legal way of approaching that area right there? You know,
New York City.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you say you want to know the legal way to approach helping the homeless
and missing children? Yeah, because you know we get some okey doke with the officials, the police people. And all of that. So we want to go by, I want to like to know legally.
I mean, best way to help with missing children is, if you want to be bold about it, you can issue your own rewards. You can organize your own campaigns and your own rewards.
Yeah.
You know, you got to try to get creative with that thing. Normally they want you to deal with the missing children's part of the police department or Amber Alert and all of that. And,
right.
You know, what inspires you to want to work in those two areas, number one?
Well, you know, the rapid way of our children, our black youth, are missing almost every month, every week. So that is a big concern right there. No one, the Amber Alert is not really recording that a black child is being missed. Only white children. So you want to jump on that right there, you know.
You have an organization?
No, it's the Panthers. Panthers are in.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, well, let me think from a Panther perspective.
Yeah.
A Panther perspective, black man, to help in the area of missing children is a good idea. It's an idea that would win sympathy to the Panther Party from broader members of the community.
Yep.
And then the only question would be remaining was, can you mount a credible effort, a serious effort that people are going to respect that will say that you really are trying to help find these children? If you can mount a legitimate campaign and then you can find some children, and find some fools that are stealing our babies and handle that business.
Yes, sir.
You could light a city up.
Yes, sir.
you could become heroes overnight. Yes, and they might not understand you or agree with you on 100 other points, but you find some of them babies and they're going to start saying thank the God and thank the Lord for the new Black Panther Party.
Yes, sir.
I just say it's a good idea from a Panther perspective. Just if you're going to do it, do it.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Whatever, that's to any. That's to you specific, but that's to anybody. Whatever we say we're going to do, let's get in and do it and make our stuff strong and consistent.
Okay.
If you're going to do it and be consistent, Allah will reward you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
I don't know too much about the homeless. And
right.
What the Panther Party could do for the homeless other than periodic food and clothing.
Yes.
Food and clothing periodic helps. But you still have a rule that if you feed a man for a day, you feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just on you what cause you want to take on.
All right.
The Panther Party, I know. They need to fight homelessness their goddamn self.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I love you, man. But I'm just saying, don't try to take on the whole. What I'm saying is do what you can do, but then don't try to, you know, just try to do a – don't try to take on the whole world. The best-made war plans are made simple, you know.
Right.
Set you out like trying to find missing kids. I mean, that's a huge problem. If you can make a dent in that area, you're doing good. It seems like I'm doing a whole lot, but I really simplify what I'm doing. I'm really just down here to dealing with these police and suing with these police. But I'm being so effective at it, people think I'm doing much more than I've done in years.
Right.
And so you can do that too, Black man. So, you know, I say everybody, fight homelessness by yourselves first. And get your economies right and get your paper right or your job right or your self-employment right and get all your stuff right to the Panther Party so that the community will look at you and respect you. And then as they respect you, you fighting and finding missing kids, they're going to be saluting you.
Yes.
You know,
that's
the Panther Party. You know, if you get credible with the community where they can look at you and see you as their equal and as their leaders, and then perform some of the miracles that only God can have given you, some of the things only the Panther Party can do. And I guarantee you the community will salute you and you'll be rewarded.
Oh,
may God bless
you,
young man. Find some of our babies and go after them no good bastards who are harming our babies. Fire the community up so any no good bastard that even thinks about harming our babies meets a swift and just reward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God
all right.
Bless.
Appreciate you. Black power.
Black power.
Black power. All right. Call us your brother attorney if you can take them.
I'm going to take them.
All right. Let's go. Hey, call 347-406. 347-406. You're on live. Black power radio. Attorney Malik Zewi Shabazz, Black Words for Justice. Your questions, your comments, welcome. Black power. Talk to us.
Black power. Black power. This is Bubba Supreme. With the new Black Panther Party in New York, Queens, New York. I'm just going to elaborate on what Brother Ali said. You know, I'm working with him under the new Black Panther Party. I'm working with Brother Ali in New York, and you know, I'm willing to, you know, I want to get together with him and work on that, the missing children, and you know, and the missing children and the homeless sounds like a good, you know, a good plan. You know. We can definitely work on that, and it's just great, you know, working with. I've soldiered with the great brother Malik Zewi Shabazz, and it's just an honor hearing him on the radio and you know hearing him with these different strategies, you know, and keep up the good work, brother. Black power.
Brother Supreme, thank you and for saying those words, and it's good to hear your spirit. And it's good to hear those from New York with a fired-up spirit to help our people. And so, brother, may God bless you. If y'all need to Facebook me for any kind of advice, I will. But you got good instructions. We know New York well, man, and we want y'all to succeed. Oh, you know how much I want New York to succeed? Because if New York, New Black Panther Party succeed, it does mean that a large part of my career, which was spent trying to help New York, that means it will not be in vain. So if I've been able to do any work in the past that inspires you to stand today, I pray to Allah you all unite and we rise together. And I do want to team up. You know, I want to be still on. I know there's some legal battles that's coming my way in New York. So I want us to work together, and I'm looking forward to a strong New York. May Allah bless. May God bless. May Ra bless. New York City, and bless you, Brother Supreme, Brother Ali, Brother Shaheed. Bless everybody that's with us. And I'm sure our future will be great together. I'm looking forward to a strong New York.
Thank you so much, Brother Supreme. Call area code 502-969. 502, excuse me, 969. You're on live. Send him my link to Mr. Bosco right ahead. Let's go 502-969. Your microphone's on some questions for Tony Money Pierce your boss.
Oh, I'm Black Power, everybody. How y'all doing?
Black Power. Go right ahead, sir.
I didn't know I was in the caller queue, bro. My fault.
Okay, do you have a question? All right.
What's the wait on the Statue of Limitations with coming and filing a lawsuit on police brutality?
What did he say about the lawsuit?
What's the statute of limitations for filing a lawsuit?
Now you have 3 years from the date of the incident to file a federal claim. But normally you don't want to wait that long, but if you happen to be in that position, you have 3 years to file a claim under 1983. For excessive force or the violation of your Fourth Amendment rights, what's called deprivation of rights, and the seizing of your body or the illegal search and seizures or the use of excessive force and the ultimate seizing of your body, which is killing you, you have 3 years in federal court to pursue the federal claims. In most cities, you have 1 year. In most states, you have 1 year to pursue what's called intentional torts by the officers. And usually you want to meet those deadlines, like 1 year for assault, 1 year for false imprisonment. You still can get a federal remedy, but you want to have all your options on the table. Many are one-year statutes for intentional torts, assault, battery, false imprisonment. And then you got 3 years for constitutional claims. And if you really want to get tight about it, you got 6 months, and in other areas sometimes 3 months, to notify the city that you're going to sue the city for acts of negligence, you know, negligent hiring and training. If you're going to sue the city of New York, the city of Newark, sue these municipalities, which are corporations, which have the capacity to sue and be sued, you have to notify them within a certain period of time. But if you don't notify them, you can still sue the officers for their intentional torts, for their intentional crimes within a year, because if you sue the officers, the city indemnifies them, and any judgment you get against them, the city has to pay it. And that's the same for the three-year statute. Any time you sue the officers and within 3 years, the city still will pay it for the officers acting because the city insures them or indemnifies them. And so, the bottom line to it is you want to jump right on it. I mean, when something happens to you, when the police illegally search and seize you, you want to get your complaint together and file your complaint. You want to try to get legal help right away. And really straight up, if you have had your rights violated by the police, you should come on to Black Lawyers for Justice, BLFjustice.com.